This is Jewish Board Talk with Cherise Zifford, only on 101.9 Chai FM.
Tamara Victor is an occupational therapist at Bella Vista Share. She is my guest today as part of my new slot, View to a Brighter Future, in which we explore issues facing the community and how we can help. Tomorrow we'll be talking about Cognitive Enrichment Advantage, or CEA, and specifically focusing on the 8 effective motivational tools for thinking and learning, which is quite a mouthful.
Yes.
Tamara, welcome. Thanks so much for joining me.
Thank you for having me, Cherise.
So Tamara, Cognitive Enrichment Advantage is a meta-strategic comprehensive teaching approach designed to help students, particularly underachieving students, learn how to learn.
Yes.
Which is even more of a mouthful. So I'm looking forward to hearing exactly what that means.
For sure. So maybe we go back a little bit in history to Cognitive Enrichment Advantage. Cognitive Enrichment Advantage, or CEA, was developed by Professor Kathy Greenberg. And she was, for lack of a better word, was a disciple of late Professor Reuven Feuerstein. So she worked with him as well, and she took Feuerstein's cognitive education and cognitive program of Feuerstein's instrumental enrichment, which is something separate and external to a regular curriculum, and she decided to make it was originally called Cognet then in the 80s, and now Cognitive Enrichment Advantage, she decided to make it a little bit more user-friendly, more accessible, give a language to thinking and a language to learning. So it's taking similar principles from Reuven Feuerstein.
So let's just go back to those principles. I think you've lost me a little bit somewhere along
the
way.
Sure. So the principle of structural cognitive modifiability, the belief in that our brains can change. Neuroplasticity, that our brains can grow, that we don't believe in a plateau, that there's always something more we can do to be able to modify ourselves, help modify others so that we can meaningfully contribute to society in any way, shape, or form. And then also the theory of the mediated learning experience, that me as the occupational therapist or someone as a teacher, we're not the fountain of all knowledge, that we create a coexistent, or how Kathy Greenberg puts it, a laboratory for learning, where we can experiment, we can try new things, we have this open space where it's give and take, kind of like a jazz band. Someone leads, then the next person takes over and they lead, but it's all kind of working together. Your mediator puts him or herself in between the learner as well as the stimulus and their response. So what are they seeing? What are they reacting to? Are they perceiving what's going on? And I'm going to use the classroom because that is my area that I've been working in. But in the lesson, are they actually perceiving what is coming through, whether we're doing a geography lesson and we've got a world map? Have we understood what it's all about? And then in the response, do they need help with either in a verbal, a written, a drawn form? That you have a mediator who's basically your handholder throughout the way. So CEA, Cognitive Enrichment Advantage, is giving our thinking vocabulary and a common vocabulary that can be used amongst teachers and students, students and their parents, teachers and the parents, as well as the wider community.
Sure. Okay. So that's a lot to take in.
Yes.
I'm going to try and kind of paraphrase it in that what I know about Professor Rubenstein is he believes that you are not defined by how you are at any given moment, but you have the ability to change and grow and learn.
Exactly.
Do you think, does that apply across the board?
I believe so. I believe in terms that Professor Feuerstein has an article a colleague of mine always quotes. It's from a French newspaper, also from way back when, but it's titled "Chromosomes Won't Have the Last Word."
Right.
And that's the belief system that we hold very near and dear, that no matter if there's a diagnosis of some sort, if we've been in an accident, if we have a barrier to learning, we are all able to be meaningfully modified.
Okay. So, and this is a tool by which you modify people, and you do it through different, I mean, it wouldn't be as simple as when we were like trying to learn, and the teacher was like, okay, well, do you learn better by walking and talking, or do you learn better by drawing? Is that the same kind of thing? No.
Not really. So this is having that shared vocabulary that within the classroom that the teacher is going to be using. So, for example, if we go to, it's made up of 12 building blocks, which are more of your cognitive processes, and 8 tools of learning, which are your understanding, your feelings towards the learning experience, as well as that motivating behavior. And what we really know, and it's a quote that Feuerstein, I think it came originally from Piaget, is that cognition and emotion are two sides of the same coin. The coin is transparent and mediation is on the edge. So really, you might have all the academic knowledge in your brain, but say, for example, you're having an emotional day or something has really upset you or a traumatic event has happened, you're not going to be able to reach all of that knowledge and cognitive
That makes perfect sense. So what are the tools?
So the tools are broken up into 4 tools for understanding our feelings for the learning process. So that links to inner meaning. Is a task meaningful for me? And how much more invested in something are you if you can find the inner meaning in what you are doing? Whether it's in the learning process, so whether it's in maths, or whether it's in going to the gym. So these are also life skills. It's not only for the classroom. So you've got inner meaning, a feeling of challenge, so that maybe it's that disequilibrium feeling you feel in the pit of your stomach, like, oh, this is quite challenging, quite tricky. I've never encountered this before. But how much nicer is it to say I'm experiencing a feeling of challenge versus it's hard, I can't? To acknowledge that I actually am going through this challenge, and a challenge opens up the door for, okay, well, what are my possible solutions? What can I do to meet this challenge? We've also got an awareness of self-change. So to acknowledge that I can actually change and grow and develop and to see how have I grown over whichever course of time. And then that feeling of competence, which is, it's really on an action level. I can do this. So often when we've come through a feeling of challenge, at the end you're like, oh yes, I did it. That's your feeling of competence. And competence can then breed confidence.
Wow. Tamara, that's a good place actually to take our break. We're going to take our break now. And when we come back, we're going to look at exactly how practically we can help.
This is Jewish Board Talk with Cherise Zifford, only on 101.9 High FM.
Tamara Victor is an occupational therapist, and we are talking about CEA, Cognitive Enrichment Advantage. And it's a tool, basically, to ensure that even those who struggle with learning have an opportunity to do so.
Yes.
Right. You were telling me about four?
The four tools that deal with understanding our feelings towards our learning. And then we've also got 4 tools that look at our motivation in the learning process. So we start with self-regulation. What is self-regulation? Are we feeling regulated? Am I ready to receive? Am I ready to learn? Can I reflect on my thoughts and my actions in the learning process? Then we speak to goal orientation, where that's really that persistence, what keeps me going. If I have my goal in mind, that's constantly going to motivate me. Or if my goal is being brought into the class, if my teachers are reminding me of my goals, if my colleagues, if my friends are reminding me of my goals, that is a motivating factor. Then we also speak to self-development, that we can grow, but that I can also learn from my peers, from my colleagues, just and use everyone's unique strengths and help develop. And then we've got sharing behavior, which is really collaboration at the end of the day. It is sharing my thoughts and my feelings, hearing from your point of view, different perspectives, different cultures, and really just having that cooperation and working together.
So many things strike me, but one is like learning when, certainly I was at school, and I definitely remember Mrs. de Villiers, who used to smack us on the hands with a wooden stick when you didn't get your maths right, has definitely evolved.
100%.
Okay. And now we understand that so much has to take place in one person at any given time.
Yes.
So the role of teachers in kind of stepping back from, I'm going to give you all the knowledge and you're going to take it in, has completely been thrown over.
We hope. in certain instances and in certain institutions, definitely. But there are still those institutions where it's the spray and pray method of the teacher believes himself to be the fountain of all knowledge. I'm going to spray you with whatever I can in this subject. Whatever sticks, great. Whatever doesn't, shame.
But it also does require a lot of time.
Yes.
And possibly one-on-one.
One-on-one is wonderful, and coming from a therapeutic point of view, most of my sessions are one-on-one, and you really do see a different side to the learner, and that trust is developed. But at our school, the classes, that's usually 1 to 15, 1 to 14, and in that group you create that rapport. It's this environment that the teacher is going to make. You want to feel safe. We cannot do anything if we don't feel safe, whether it's as a child, an adult. So it's really creating this environment for our learners that they feel safe to share and to try, and that it doesn't matter if you're wrong or if you make a mistake, because what does a mistake mean? I can learn from it. My brain can grow from us. Our brains actually do grow from mistakes. If you're getting everything right all the time, where's the development?
So, everything you said has made perfect sense. Is it, does one have to build on the other? If you're not regulated, it doesn't matter. What all the rest can be in place, but nothing else is going to happen.
So that's a very, very valid statement. We do, at the end of the day, if we're not regulated from a sensory point of view or an emotional point of view, nothing is going to go in. So we need to make sure, what we call in the mediated learning experience, that there's reciprocity in terms of, is my audience ready to receive? Is there that trusting relationship? I might be the best therapist or the best teacher in the world and have all the knowledge, but if my audience isn't ready for me, or if one's staring out the window and the other one's in his own world and jumping around, then nothing's going to land. So we do need to play that active role in getting our audience, whether it's in a board meeting or whatever, staff meeting, getting everyone ready to receive.
It's incredible. I really enjoy this monthly slot. And the work that Bella Vista does, if anybody would like to learn more about it, what should they do?
I would recommend that they go visit our website, Bella Vista Share. We train in cognitive education, and in the Feuerstein, we're the accredited trainers for Feuerstein's instrumental enrichment. And then just to get hold of us through the Share website.
Thank you very much. That was Tamara Victor, occupational therapist at Bella Vista Share, and she is part of the View to a Brighter Future.